This is Gabriel Wrench with your Cost Politics Daily News Brief for Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. Going to sort through the business fallout of the COVID panic. But first, I want to bring your attention, thanks to Daily News Brief listener who emailed us at news@costpolitic.com, this article, to what the Human Rights Campaign wants Biden to accomplish if he gets in office. So the Human Rights Campaign created this blueprint for positive change in 2020. And among many recommendations, they want the Department of Education to pass a regulation that would make room to refuse the accreditation of an institution that do not meet neutral standards of science, whatever that means, based curriculum, and do not have appropriate non-discrimination policies. So basically, the universities are going to get dinged through the accreditation process. They'll lose their accreditation and if they don't kind of sign off to the science-based curriculum proposed by this Department of Education. So that's why you need to be sending your kids to colleges like New St. Andrews College, who does not take federal funding. So here's a summary of what they want Biden to push. First, they want to ensure consistent administrative implementation of Bostock versus Clayton County across all agencies, enforcing civil rights statutes and provisions. Secondly, they want to revise restrictions on transgender individuals to return to an inclusive policy of military service, establish an interagency work group to address anti-transgender violence. I did not misspeak there. An interagency. So some sort of agency that interrogates working groups to address anti-transgender violence. That's hilarious. Appoint openly LGBT justices, judges, executive officials, and ambassadors. No surprise there. Number four, establish uniform data collection standards incorporation, sexual orientation, and gender identity into federal surveys. Number five, establish an interagency working group to protect and support LGBTQ rights ++ globally. They want Biden to press this globally in discrimination against gays and bisexual blood donors. I guess if you have AIDS, you can still donate blood. Number six, prohibit the practice of conversion therapy as fraudulent business practices. Next, rescind and replace regulations restricting coverage of Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, Obama put together the Affordable Care Act, and there's already sections that they want to restrict and basically delete. You know, one bureaucrat comes up with a solution, and the next bureaucrats want to fix that solution. Lastly, they want to eliminate discrimination against beneficiaries in charitable choice and faith-based initiatives. And I assume this is targeting like adoption agencies, Sisters of the Poor, stuff like that. Here's the thing. If this human rights trash makes it deeper into our society, cancel culture is going to increase exponentially. It really is. And mainstream media will be their, accomplice in all this. It's amazing watching the media not only go soft on Biden, but really make excuses for him, finish his sentences, wipe his drool as he stumbles through interviews and speeches. You know, they're all the hard questions, hardball questions they ask Trump, all the going after Trump's children. Not one mainstream media outlet has done any justice to Hunter Biden's problems. The mainstream media is like a man who thinks he can self-identify as a woman. Just because you self-identify as a true and honest news organization does not mean you are a true and honest news organization or a news organization at all. I'm going to start calling CNN, Fox, MSNBC, etc. tranny news. They self-identify as news organizations, which is why we need your help to grow the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. We can't do this without our club members, and this Christmas, we need you more than ever as we head into the new year. And actually, during this Christmas, the first 150 club members that subscribe at $25 or more will get a really cool Kodiak Fight Laugh Feast tumbler. I'm excited to get these in, and we'll be shipping them out during December. The best way you can help is by becoming a Fight Laugh Feast club member today. Many of you already have, and we can't thank you enough. But if you're tired of legacy media, you're tired of the media wiping up Joe Biden's drool and cramming their pagan worldviews down your throat and social media censoring views they don't approve of, support Cross Politic as we build a Christian media platform and network committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Support Rowdy Christian Media by going to fightlaughfeast.com. So this next half of the news brief, I'm going to go through a number of economic and business issues related to the coronavirus or the corona panic or the corona shutdown. 28 of the biggest corporations battered by the coronavirus. More than the headline's a little misleading, I mean, although it does cover that. But really, my focus here is more than 3,600, this is according to New York Daily News, more than 3,600 companies filed for bankruptcy between January and June of this year as the coronavirus pandemic caused widespread shutdowns, cratered demand, and thrust the United States into recession. In June 2020 alone, there was a 43% spike in Chapter 11 filings over the same month from 2019. And what's hilarious about this, you got, you know, states like Connecticut, where the governor is imposing $10,000 fines for businesses that violate his own COVID rules. So we have in Michigan, this is according to, again, New York Daily News, Big Boy burger chain drops Michigan franchise for refusing to comply with COVID restrictions. A Michigan restaurant has, again, according to New York Daily News, a Michigan restaurant had its franchise license terminated after refusing to comply with state-issued coronavirus restrictions. On Friday, the Facebook page for Big Boy Restaurant in Michigan's Thumb region announced that we have been contacted by corporate Big Boy and they are planning on taking legal action against us. Big Boy Restaurant Group is a burger chain headquartered in Warren, Michigan, so it's actually headquartered in Michigan, in kind of the Detroit metropolitan area. The Sandusky location was one of the four restaurants in the state that received citations for offering indoor dining, a violation of newly enacted restrictions to control the spread of the deadly coronavirus. Earlier this week, the head of the state's Department of Health and Human Services, Robert Gordon, issued new orders on indoor activities in an effort to control a recent surge in COVID cases in Michigan. Lockdowns don't work, by the way. Starting at 12:01 a.m. on November 18th, gathering spaces such as gyms for group activities, theaters, schools, universities, restaurants for indoor dining were ordered to shut down for 3 weeks. Outdoor dining, so that was November 18th for 3 weeks. Outdoor dining, takeout, and food delivery services were not affected. In a GoFundMe page, which I would recommend you guys go check out, and if you can support them, support them. In a GoFundMe page created by Troy Tank, part owner and operations for the Sandusky location, he writes, "We have decided to remain open for dine-in and continue to serve the community and the customers base that we love so dearly." Big Boy corporate offices told owners that they had 24 hours to comply with the order, but they refused. "We had already," this is the owner speaking, Tank of the local Sandusky location, "we have already decided we weren't going to do that," Tank told the Associated Press, adding that the business suffered financially when it had to shut down its doors early in the pandemic. "Our backs were against the wall, and we knew we were going to have to fight," Tank said. Of course their backs are against the wall, and the government wants to crush that wall. According to the Detroit Free Press, Big Boy's chief operating officer, Bob Scavo, said that the corporation and its franchisees didn't approve the actions of the rogue franchisee and that we have taken steps to terminate the franchise agreement. Patrick Blake, a spokesman for the corporation, said that Big Boy's number one priority is the safety of customers and staff. That's not true. If people can't make money, they can't be safe, they can't be healthy, they can't pay for their own food, their own medical care, their own so forth. That's just, he's so wrong. "The Sandusky restaurant actions are not representative of Big Boy's standards," Blake added, according to the AP. So he's at corporate. He's making his money. He's got his paycheck. He doesn't care about the waitresses and waiters and the local restaurants. He doesn't. On Friday, the eatery updated its Facebook cover with the image of Big Boy sign blacked out its name for the past 35 years. So they've had that location for 35 years, and you get in a pickle, and your corporation stabs you in the back. The GoFundMe page was renamed to Sandusky Family Restaurant Fund. "As true American patriots, all of us here at the restaurant encourage you to join in our fight to keep our most basic everyday freedoms intact," Tank wrote on the GoFundMe page. So here we are, the pandemic. We have a bunch of companies that have filed for Chapter 11 in June, and then we have the government going into a second lockdown, and you got little restaurants like this. It's always the little guy like this who's getting shut down again for 3 weeks, and they want, and then big corporate plays the you know, the middleman, the thug, the guy who takes the bat and goes slashes tires and cars and so forth. And so he plays the middleman for the government. But let's look at the big picture here. As of August, the economy shed a record 22 million jobs, 22.2 million to be exact. And that's in March and April. Okay, March and April, we shed about 22 million jobs in March and April after large swaths of U.S. were shut down to curb the spread of COVID-19. And this is according to the Labor Department survey. The survey is considered the most accurate in U.S. employment, yeah, because a bunch of jobs have been killed. So 22 million jobs. I believe we've recovered about 40% of those jobs now since the lockdown. Now I want to go through some specifics. This is according to the Pew Social Trends report. Age is a factor here with the people's ability to pay their bills or rent or mortgage since February. Fully 35% of adults ages 18 to 19 and 30% of those ages 30 to 49 say they have had trouble paying their bills during this time. This is one of the arguments I've been saying since the beginning, that the people who are over 65 are higher risk, but also are financially well off or financially set through this pandemic, through retirement, 401ks, pensions, whatever's floating them. And even in our local town, I know the older business owners in town are happy with the shutdown, but that's because their businesses have already made it. They've already established their businesses for decades and are doing fine. It's the younger generation that is suffering in all this, and the data is showing that. So, and this compares with 22% of those ages 50 to 64 and 10% of those 64 and older have had trouble paying their bills. So it's you're killing the younger generation. About one in five or more adults ages 18 to 29 and 30 to 49 have had trouble paying their rent or mortgage. So you're talking about 25% of ages 18 to 49-year-olds have had trouble paying their rent or mortgage. That's significant. The report goes on to say more than 4 in 10 lower-income adults, 44%, say they have had used money from their savings account or retirement account to pay their bills during this time, and about a third or more have borrowed money from friends or family. That's about 35%. And gotten their food from a food bank or charitable organization, that's about 35%, or receive government food assistance, about 37%, among middle-income adults. So that was kind of the lower-income adults. Among middle-income adults, 33% say they've had to use money from a savings or retirement account to pay their bills. 11% have had to borrow money from family or friends. 12% have gotten food from food banks or charitable organizations. 7% have received government food or assistance. And again, that's from the middle income adults. And then lastly, the much smaller share of upper income adults say they had to draw on some resources like savings, etc., to pay their bills. So here's some BLS data. In July, 31.3 million people reported that they had been unable to work at some point in the last 4 weeks. That's in July, because their employer closed or lost business due to the coronavirus pandemic. That is, they did not work at all or worked a few hours. This figure was down from 40 million in June and 49 million in May. That's unbelievable. The figure for July represented 12% of the civilian and non-institutional population, down from 16%, and in June, 19% from May. So this is from the BLS, basically saying that 31 million people in July were affected, their work hours were affected, or they were laid off. So either they worked less hours or they were actually totally laid off from the coronavirus pandemic. And that was down from May, which it was at its peak of 49.8 million, almost 50 million workers in May were affected by this. You gotta love the Whole Foods CEO here. I've heard him before, I've listened to him before, listened to him speak before, but he's coming out again in all this. According to the Washington Examiner, the CEO of one of the nation's largest grocery chains criticized socialism and the private universities that openly attack capitalism. That's right. We should defund any private university that attacks capitalism because they're living off it. We have to recognize that some of the progressives, this is a quote from the CEO, we have to recognize that some of the progressives' insights are important and they shouldn't go away, but we can't throw out capitalism and replace it with socialism. That will be a disaster. Here's the problem with the CEO, John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO, is that he thinks progressivism does not end with the end result of socialism or Marxism. He thinks there can be a disconnect there. That's impossible. John Mackey actually goes on. He goes on to say, socialism has been tried 42 times in the last 100 years and 42 failures. It doesn't work. It's the wrong way. We have to keep capitalism. I would argue we need conscious capitalism. Oh man, is that kind of like Bush's, compassionate conservatism? Is that what he's talking about? Mackey goes on to say, it needs to evolve. Otherwise, the socialists are going to take it over. That's how I see it. And that's the path of poverty, Mackey said. They talk about trickle-down wealth, but socialism is trickle-up poverty. He ain't wrong there. It just impoverishes everything. It's actually trickle-down poverty. I don't think it'd be trickle-down. It's trickle-down poverty because the government is causing the poverty to happen and it's trickling down that way. It just impoverishes everything. That's my fear, that Marxists and socialists, the academic community is generally hostile to business. It always has been. This is not anything new. Mackey explained that he had been heckled during speeches at college campuses. That's why he's hitting college so hard, is because he goes and does speeches on college campuses and they hate his message. And Mackey says this about college campuses, about his experience on college campuses. He said, the professors are very skeptical. Their arms are crossed and they want to argue with me about it. Here you got a bunch of professors paid by the government arguing with a CEO who's, thriving off capitalism. That's funny contrast. The CEO, Mackey, suggests that more business people should be teaching at colleges, and he ain't wrong there either. Lastly, he finishes with intellectuals teach mostly intellectuals who've never actually been in business at all. And that's the truth. It's very interesting, Mackey said, and it's the intellectuals he's referring to here, who don't actually understand business, who don't particularly understand entrepreneurship, and actually can oftentimes be hostile toward the very thing they're teaching. So that's a particular challenge. And the very thing that's feeding them. Those professors are benefiting from capitalism. Those professors have a job because of capitalism. And that capitalism is supporting that socialistic education system, which is the problem. So, thank you for joining us. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. Support Rowdy Christian Media by joining our club at FightLaughFeast.com, downloading our app, and heading to our annual Fight Laugh Feast conference next fall. Got some fun announcements hopefully coming in February with that. With your partnership together, we will fight outdated and compromised media, engage news and politics with the gospel, and replace lies and darkness with truth and light. So go to FightLaughFeast.com to take all these actions.